Good to be anywhere today. Amen. Just take a good deep breath of air and realize God's blessing you. We're not under the daisies today. It's camp meeting time. And this is a time of rejoicing, a time of allowing the Lord to have His way. And camp meeting is a little bit different than just a regular church service. This is a time when we evaluate ourselves, and I believe it'd be proper to do that on the Lord's Day, today as we begin the services just among ourselves. By the time Thursday gets here, then we'll have our hearts prepared and ready, appetite proper, and we'll see camp meeting come to Grace Baptist Church. I want to invite you to open your Bible this morning to the book of Matthew with me. Every year when I do a meeting, I try to have a verse of Scripture that testifies to me or directs me in why I'm here this week. I had the privilege to minister with Dr. Ron Garris with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, and Dr. Garris always told me, he said, "Brother Hatfield, don't just do revivals. Have you a verse of Scripture and understand why God had you there that week." This morning in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6, I want to begin with that verse as sort of our theme verse this week. And I want to invite you to spend some time with this verse of Scripture. It's a very familiar verse. Sometimes familiarity breeds contentment, and we don't pay attention to it anymore. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, he said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I like that word, filled. I enjoy the presence of God. There have been times in this camp meeting that we have experienced the presence of God. It's been told that I ran the pews one night. I don't remember that. I guess it happened. I remember being halfway back, nearly breaking my neck, getting down. But I don't think running pews is necessarily required, but we have had some good times. I remember very well what we call the tater chip message, how God blessed us, how we were in the upper room and this was just being built, and we were not yet in this auditorium, and I wasn't even scheduled to preach that night. Brother Lawrence, I just met him, and he looked over at me and said, "Brother Hatfield, I believe you have something for us." Bob Ferguson was scheduled to preach that night. And I got up and preached that message, and God blessed it. We had a good time in the Lord. And I tell you, the Lord just came down mightily. And Brother Lawrence looked over at Brother Bob and said, "What do I do?" And Brother Bob said, "Well, I have a message." And it was about 11 o'clock, I guess, that night. And he got up and preached on the sheep and their shepherd. And I remember people standing around upstairs as late as 2 o'clock that morning, because the power and the presence of God was so real, people didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay in the presence of God. I say to you this morning, God doesn't just pass by every time we come together. When He does this week, and sometime you watch out, He'll pass by. Sometime this week, God will pass by. When He does, pay attention to that word, filled. And let Him fill you with His presence. It begins with a hunger. and a thirst after righteousness. One of my favorite things in this world is to eat. I love it. But my body has like a clock on the inside of it. And it lets me know when it's hungry and it's time to eat. The same is true spiritually with our lives. It's just been a while since God has passed by. There's something down in my soul longing for His presence this morning. So when He passes by, let's pay attention to that word filled and take of Him all that we can receive from His presence. This morning, turn with me to the book of Philippians. I thought Brother Lawrence was going to read my text a while ago. He got close. But he didn't read it. In the book of Philippians, and I want to say while you're finding your place there, I appreciate that Sunday school lesson this morning. I appreciate that. I don't know that any of us enjoyed it, but we appreciate it. Because men that still got enough character to stand up and challenge us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, but the love of the Father's not in them when they love the world. But my message to you this morning, I sat over there while he was teaching, and my message this morning is going to pick up right about where he left off and just continue on this morning. Philippians chapter number 3, and look at verse number 1 with me, please. Philippians 3 and verse 1. Would you stand with me this morning while I read from the Scriptures today? He said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." There's enough right there to have camp meeting. Just rejoice. You may say, "Well, I'm waiting on my favorite song," or "I'm waiting on my favorite preacher." But the Bible says to just rejoice in the Lord. I want to say to you this morning, God has already done enough that we ought to have a rejoicing down in our soul. What God's already done. Rejoice in the Lord. He said, "To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. For you, it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." Now watch this. "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege of prayer. We thank You for the public reading of our Bible. We thank You for the gathering of the saints of God. Thank You, Lord, for health and the opportunity to be here. Some this morning, Lord, do not have that opportunity. And this morning they lay upon a bed longing to be in the house of God among the saints. But You have blessed us and given us this privilege. I pray You'll help us this morning to realize what a wonderful thing this is. And Father, I pray Your blessings upon this time of preaching. I pray that You would take us now and You would overshadow us with the Holy Ghost of God. And Father, You'd just allow me to be a servant for You. You became a servant for me. And I just want to be a vessel this morning, Lord, that You can use. Speak to everyone under the sound of my voice. I pray You'll draw us close together and close to You, that we might see an old-time camp meeting this week, Lord, as You pass by our way. Bless now in everyone's life. Revive that one that's lost the joy of their salvation. Draw that one, God, that's struggling with their walk with You. Save that one that's never been saved. And we'll thank You and praise You for all You do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. You might be seated. This morning I want to bring to your attention verse number 10, where Paul said, that I may know Him. He listed two things as he makes this statement about God. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. He said to get to know Him, you've got to know something about His resurrection. Because we come in here on the Lord's Day today, and you and I are celebrating the fact that we too are resurrected. We're resurrected from a life of sin. We're resurrected from a life of habits, a world that surrounded us, that was causing us to go in the direction toward a place called hell. And God resurrected us from that lifestyle. We're here to celebrate that today. Every Lord's Day when we come to church, we can stand up and, as Paul said, rejoice in the Lord because we are resurrected. We have a second glimpse at that word. We realize that the ministry of resurrection is not finished yet. For some have outstripped us and gone on before us. And he tells us in 1 Thessalonians that they will resurrect from the dead one day and come out of those graves, and those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up to join them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That word resurrection has a lot to do with your future. So God, Paul is saying that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Secondly, the fellowship of His suffering. If you're going to be a Christian and walk with God, you must get used to persecution. We're looking around today and we're seeing that in our news and in our government and in the world as we live in our places of here and there, we're seeing more persecution today than in any time in my life. People are going to prison today for standing against gay marriage. People today, Miss Kim just got out of jail, and I don't know so much about meeting with the Pope, but she chose to do that. I don't necessarily agree with that, but anyway, she's taken her stand. She was put in prison for standing on what the Word of God said about a man and a woman coming together in holy matrimony and uniting two flesh into one. God said a man and a woman. Well, you're going to have to get used to persecution and suffering. There's a lot of suffering, but Paul said, with these two things in mind, the key phrase is that I may know Him. You know what's so magnificent about that statement? Is when Paul penned those words down, he's been saved for 30 years. 30 years after he'd known the Lord, Paul said, it's still down in my heart that there's some things about Him that I still don't know. There's still some things about Him that I have not learned. There's still some things about Him that I have not experienced. There's some things about Him that I want to know. I would to God this morning that it would burn in our hearts today to be able to know Him the way Paul is phrasing in verse number 10, that I may know Him. If you look in verses 1 through 9 that I've read to you this morning, you'll find out that Paul is saying that he doesn't have everything that is needed to know this God in heaven. It's not something you manufacture through your abilities or your accomplishments or your years of being saved. But it's just that you may know Him and the power of His resurrection and fellowship of His sufferings. As a matter of fact, look with me, if you will, in verses 5 and 6. Because Paul said these things, circumcised the eighth day. Paul is saying that if there's anything that would qualify me to know God, then surely that I have those things in my life today and I qualify to know Him. But later on he expresses that this is not what the answer is. He said, circumcised the eighth day, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, of touching the law of Pharisee. Look at verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Paul said, I have all those things in my life. You would think that would qualify me to be able to know God the way that I want to know God on this day. But he said, that's not what it's about. Some of you have been saved for a number of years. Some of you have had experiences with God. You've seen Him heal. You've seen Him comfort. You've seen Him bless. You've seen those times that God has reached out His hand and touched your family. And you would think that surely to goodness that would qualify me to know Him. But I want to say to you this morning, there's still some more things about this God in heaven that you still don't know. And Paul expresses that with these words, that I may know Him. There's something very special about those ancient days of our lives. Those years of knowing Him and walking with Him. And if we had a dollar for every time that we rehearsed those words, if I knew then what I know now, I'd do things more different. It's about the years. It's about the experience. It's about the life of knowing God and being with Him involved in these times of suffering and watching Him prevail and bless you in your life. So Paul said, after all these things in mind, I still want to get to know Him. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Winners Without a Crown. Winners Without a Crown. And I want to say to you this morning that we are more than conquerors. We are winners today. But we still don't have our crowns yet. The Bible talks about 5 crowns that you can win through the judgment seat of Christ once we get to heaven. 5 crowns. But we're winners today. We're in a race. We're running our race. We've got a lot of years behind us. We've got a lot of experience with God. We've seen wonderful things happen. But looking ahead, there's still more about Him that I want to know. There's more experiences I want to go through. And I'm running this race, and I'm a winner in the race already. I'm not running to win. I've already won. I'm just running down, holding the flag up, saying, thank God I'm more than a conqueror this morning. And hallelujah, today we have a right to rejoice in the Lord. But Paul comes down to verse number 12, and look what he said. Well, look at verse 11 with me, first of all. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, watch this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that which I have apprehended, for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In verse 12, Paul said, not as though I had already attained. And that statement very simply means this. There's still blessings that I have not received yet that God has in store for me, for every child of God. I'm running my race. Sometimes I get weary. I'm like you. Sometimes I wonder how much further I can run. I've got a long way behind me. I can turn around and look behind me, and I see a lot of wonderful things back through there. I see the day that I met the Lord in my past. I remember down at Godfrey Avenue Independent Baptist Church, on a Sunday morning after a drug-ridden party on Saturday night, I made my way down the aisle after the preacher gave the invitation, knelt on the altar at that church, and I bowed and called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He forgave my sin, wrote my name down in heaven, and told me I'm a child of God. Now, I still see that in my past. I look in my past and I see blessings back through there. One day I met a beautiful little filly named Kay Hatfield. She was Kayville back then. He introduced me to her. I remember I had a Sunday school class. My pastor, I got saved 6 months later. God called me to preach. I know that's not much time, but But I knew that God wanted me to be a preacher. I was riding down the road with my mom on the way home from church. And my grandfather was a preacher. And I asked my mom, I said, I wonder how Pout knew when God wanted him to be a preacher. She said, well, Benny, all I can tell you is he always said, you just know. You can't explain it. You can't put it into words, but you just, down in your heart, you know God wants you to be a preacher. Sitting there in that automobile, I looked over to my mother and I said, well, I just know God wants me to be a preacher. I still see that in my past. I remember that blessed day when He called me to preach. My preacher gave me a Sunday school class and said, you need to be teaching and getting familiar with the Word of God. I took a little room and started teaching my own age. There were so many of my own peers came to church with me that we filled up that room and had to move upstairs to a double-sized room. And I was teaching my own age out of the Word of God. And one morning, hallelujah, this most beautiful little thing come walking through the Sunday school door named Kay Bill. And I look in my past and I went out. Honestly, I'll have to confess. I went out to talk to her sister. I thought her sister was pretty. And so I went out. And I invited them to come back next Sunday to my Sunday school class. And I tried to have a conversation with her sister, and we just stood there and looked at one another. Then every time Kay would say something, she and I would have an extended conversation, and it just took over, and it seemed like everything that we tried to talk about, it was Kay and I in the conversation. So she came back that next Sunday. She came the first day with a boy. Next time she come by herself. And I said, hallelujah. I look back in my past and I remember that blessed day when I stood at the altar and I heard the music of the wedding march, and I turned around and looked, and she came through those doors dressed in pure white. And I thought to myself, you done struck gold. What a blessed day. My grandfather joined us together, and we two became one flesh. We celebrate 38 years now of man and wife. Hallelujah. Blessings as I look back. I remember as I look back in my past, I remember that day when she said to me, you better get me to the hospital. It's time. And we took off to the hospital. She went into labor and they had some kind of confusion and had to do a cesarean, but they took Adam and laid him in my hands. I'll never forget looking down at that life, realizing God allowed me to create that life. And I carried that little feller to the nursery. I'm just talking about being able to look behind you today and see the blessings that God has bestowed upon your life and the good things that God has already done for you. Secondly, came Andrew. I held him in my hand. I named Adam Benjamin Adam, Benjamin after me. My name is Benjamin. I named him Adam because I wanted him to be as Adam was, the first man upon this earth. Andrew was the one that introduced Peter to the Lord, so I named Andrew because of his soul winning. And I dedicated both my boys. I laid both of them on the altar and bowed my head, closed my eyes, and I said, God, I give them to you. And Lord, I give Adam to you right now. And Lord, if he's not going to be saved, if he's not going to live for you, then take him right now. And if I'm not going to be the father I should be, take him right now. Opened my eyes and he was still alive. And I looked over at Kay and I said, thank God he's going to get saved one day. I'm looking back on my life and I'm seeing blessings. But you know what Paul said? Not as though I had already attained. There's still blessings out there that I've not received yet. And God is going to give them to me in my life. It's enough to make you want to keep running this race. Just carry on. Run the race. No matter how weary you get. No matter how heavy the load gets. No matter how discouraged you get. Keep on running. Keep on running. There's blessings that you have not yet received and you're going to get them in your life. Matter of fact, I wish there was some way to pull down a canvas and show you your future. I wish there was a way to show you the things God has in store for you. You would sit there and you would look at that canvas and you would say, really? Is that me? God's going to do that for me. There would be a revival of energy in your life enough that you would say, come on, bless God, let's keep running the race. Good things are up ahead of us. You know why? Because Paul said, there's still blessings I have not yet received. Still things I'm going to experience. Still mountaintops that I'm going to be able to be a part of. And I want to keep running. I feel a burden down in my heart for those that have quit the journey and not here this morning, not in the house of God. They used to be here, used to be a part of our church family. Used to be in love with God. Used to be in love with the people of God. Used to be in love with the church of God. And now, they just don't come anymore. You know what they've done? They've quit looking in their past. And they quit remembering the good things God has already done. And they fail to recognize that there's still blessings out here that God has in store for them. And they just quit running the race. You and I have to run this race with patience. And there's good things up ahead of us that we've not yet experienced. Good things. Secondly, look with me in verse 12. Either we're already perfect. See that statement? Either we're already perfect. Paul is saying this. Number one, there's blessings I have not yet received. And secondly, I have not grown all I'm going to grow. I'm still going to grow as a child of God. I'm still going to mature as a child of God. I'm going to get closer to Him. I'm going to be more like Him. I'm going to grow. I don't know about you, but when I look back in my past, I see those blessings, but I see times that I let Him down. I missed the mark. I did not do what He led me to do. I remember a young man. Here's a good example. I was soul winning one day in a prison down in Mississippi. And I had my Bible in my hand, and we were in this unit, and the guys had rioted, so they were in lockdown. They could not come out of their cell. So I was going cell to cell, and we had to lay on our stomach and talk under the door, the bottom of the door, to the inmate, and they couldn't hear us because the doors were so thick and they had to lay down. I laid down. We'd have to take our feet and wipe away food that they had thrown out under their door and cigarette butts, and we'd have to make us a place and lay down and talk to them. And I came to this one boy named Ricky, and I said, "Ricky, could I give you a gospel tract?" And he said, "I don't want anything you got." We went back and forth for the longest, and I tried to offer him things, tried to talk to him, and every time I said something, he said, "No, I don't want it." And finally I said, "Ricky, could I give you a piece of paper?" He said, "You got a piece of stationery?" I said, "Yeah, you can write home on this stationery." He said, "I'll take some stationery." And I gave it to him. And I said, "Now let me just give you one track, Ricky, since you took my stationery." And I slid that track under the door and he took it. I said, "Now open it up." And we began to read that track together. I read one just like it, and he listened as I read. And I guess 30 minutes went by, and we talked. And I held my hand under that door. Ricky put his big old black hand on mine, and we held fingertips together. And he called on the Lord and asked the Lord to save him. And God saved Ricky that day. You know, I started to get up and walk away. And when I did, I heard him holler, "Preacher." And I said, "Yeah." And he slid a razor blade under his door. And I said, "What's this, Ricky?" He said, "I had already written my letter, made plans to cut my throat from ear to ear, and you came by." He said, "I had made the decision that I did not want to live in this cell anymore. I don't want to be treated the way they're treating me, and I'm going to end my life today, and you came by." Well, I'm glad to tell you, there's blessings out there we have not yet received, but there's a lot of growing up to do too. And I love it when I'm able to overcome sin and be the vessel God uses to lead somebody to Christ. There's still some growing up to do. I'm not everything God wants me to be yet, but I'm going to be. Like one preacher said, "I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm sure not what I used to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be. He's still working on me." We claim that song that the children sing, "He's still working on me," but I've got news for you today. That's not a child's song. He's still working on Benny Hatfield today. There's still some growing to do. There's some maturing to do. There's some overcoming to do. It makes me want to stay in this race and keep running for the glory of God. Either we're already perfect. I'm not there yet, but I want to be. Look with me lastly in verse 12. "That I may apprehend that which were also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Very simply, Paul is saying this: I just want to get a hold of the one that's got a hold of me. I just want to grab hold of Him because He has a hold of me. And walk with Him, and talk with Him, and fellowship with Him. You know, the Bible says this: draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That word draw nigh very simply means put your arm around Him. Put your arm around Him and He'll put His arm around you. He already has His arm around you, so you put yours around Him. The two of you can walk through life as best friends. That's what that means. I've not yet got a hold of the one that's got a hold of me. And your salvation is secure. If you ever realize that you being saved is not you holding on to God, but God has a hold of you, you'll understand it is eternal salvation. You'll never lose it. You'll have it all the way to heaven. And when that day comes that God gives a roll call, your name is going to be called. Hallelujah. So I want to get a hold of the one that has a hold of me. I want Him to have a hold of my preaching. I want my preaching to be anointed. I want my praying to be anointed. I want my scripture reading to be anointed. I want Him to get a hold of my life and bless me. And Paul said, after 30 years of knowing Him, he said, if you'll let me do it this way, he said, I tell you what, I just want to know Him. I just want to know Him. My message to you today is stay in the race. Run with patience the race that is set before you. What? Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? I want that prize today. Stay in the race. Run it with patience. Let God be your best friend. Let's stand and bow for prayer.